turn please to Ephesians and chapter 5. Book of Ephesians and chapter 5. And we'll break in at verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but are now, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now turn back to the book of Luke, please. Luke's Gospel. And chapter 22. Luke's Gospel and chapter 22. And verse number 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness. Now, turn back, please, to Matthew, First Gospel, New Testament, and chapter 27. And verse number 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, could we look at one final reference in the book of Peter, and it's 2 Peter. And chapter 2, please. 2 Peter and chapter 2. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. I trust God will help us with what we have heard to preach the gospel from these verses. It's rather more of a dark picture that I have, and I trust God will help me very graciously to handle it in a way that you will pick up really what the Bible is teaching on the subject of darkness. I suppose we could all feel tonight, those of us who are saved, and we've often said in the back of our mind, we wonder why, and some of the questions have already been answered in the fore part of the meeting, we wonder why men are not in a hurry to get to Christ. When salvation is so great, and when the offer is so free, and when the blood has been shed so freely by the Christ at Calvary, and when the way to heaven has been opened at the sacrifice of Christ, that everything is conducive for sinners to come and know Christ and have eternal life and be sure of heaven. You would think there would be a rampage. You would think there would be a tremendous effort for men to turn and get to Christ. Yet it's not true. It's not true in our world. It never was true. For the Bible would clearly tell us Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So the majority of people, sad to say, and we were once among them, those of us who were saved, we really could have summed it up in the words of the hymn, room for pleasure and room for business. But for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he could enter in the heart for which he died. My friend tonight, I want to look at the spiritual darkness that possesses every person born into the world. True of the speaker tonight, and true of the hearers in this meeting, and true of Vancouver, and true of our world, darkness reigns in the human mind. And that's why the apostle, writing to the Ephesians, he reminds them certain things of their past, before the gospel illuminated their minds, and reached into their darkened souls, and they trusted Christ. And they were saved for eternity. Before that, friend, he said, ye were sometimes darkness. That is spiritual darkness. Their mind was darkened. They could not understand realities, and they could not understand salvation. Is that where some are tonight in this meeting? You've listened to it, you've heard it, some have known the story, and if like myself, I could have put it reams and reams and reams of scripture before I got saved. Isaiah 53, I could have stood in a little smoke box and put in the whole 12 verses. I could have quoted John 5:24, Romans 5 and 6, and 5 and 8. I could have quoted, my friend, whole chapters in John. We were brought up with that. The Word of God we knew, it was on our bedrooms, we won them at Sunday school for prizes. And yet if you had said to Albert Hall, up until he was 20 years of age, are you going to heaven? No, I'm not going to heaven. Saved? No, I'm not saved. You know why, friend? I was in the category of what we read in Ephesians 5, ye were sometimes darkness. Darkness reigned. I couldn't understand realities. Oh, that God would sweep among us and move away all the dark cobwebs in that soul of yours and bring you into the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, right into the Galatians, sums it up so lovely when he says, he hath delivered us out of the realm, the authority of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. My friend, what a transformation. People say sometimes, you emphasize too much this business of ensure and this business of knowing that there's a moment. Friend, we couldn't.
I'd be wrong to give you the wrong impression, friend. It's very real to come from darkness to light. It's very real to leave the broad road and start in the narrow.
It's very real, my friend, to come out of the state of spiritual death and enter into the state of spiritual life. It's very, very, my friend, contrasted hell and heaven. Or you can. Spiritual darkness. And you know, I sat down with numbers of souls.
You're the law of Satan, and you're coming with very simple scriptures that we know so well and wonder why they can't receive it. And you're the saying, well, I can't see it.
I can't understand it. And yet, my friend,
you can quote it. John 5:24 was quote, Romans 5:6 was quote. In fact, there was one young man stay behind. A young man had done it, but this young man stayed behind. And through was escaping through.
Young man about 19 or 20.
Coming to all the meetings. And we're speaking through him. And finally, my preaching partner was explaining the gospel for Romans 5:6.
So clear, I could have got saved right there if I wasn't saved.
And that young man looked at me and then looked at him. I never forget it. It was like, and put your mind to his to us. So what he said, as soon as you man, can't help me. And he walked out.
Boy. I looked at my heart and I said, God's teaching me something.
Man, on a spiritual doctor, sometimes you can say the right scripture. If God so helps us, I know that. But it made me recognize again
that solemn truth, salvation
is of the Lord, friend. It must come from God. It must come from the Spirit of God. It must, my friend, be revealed to the dark soul and mind of the person, the great, emancipating, blessed, glorious, eternal truth, Christ, died for the ungodly. The amazing thing is we got a call at 5 o'clock.
He said, it's just see it. I said, how do you see it? Romans 5, 6, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
Why do you not just say, we were speaking?
Darkness in the mind, friend. That's where sinners are. They'll come to the meetings. Day after day, night after night. And they'll go out and they'll come in and then they'll go out. And they'll say, well, all right, we'd like to come now and again. We'd like to listen to the gospel.
It never penetrates the dark mind, friend, of that poor sinner on the road that leads to eternal judgment.
I hope God send among us divine light.
You are in darkness tonight of Gnosticism. You are sometimes darkness, virgin darkness.
Let me point out a second truth that I see from Luke chapter 20:22, and that is this. When the Lord Jesus, God's Son, you know, it says, he was the true light, and the true light of every man coming into the world, and yet it says, that men love darkness rather than light. And again it says that the darkness comprehendeth not the light. My friend, it's a solemn thing. The gospel can be as clear and plain. I've heard people say, I'm a brother know it more than myself. I could have got saved all over again. I got saved tonight all over. They didn't get saved all over again. But it was so clear, friend. It was just taking them back to the moment when they came from darkness to light and they trusted the lovely person of the Lord Jesus.
I want to look at the other aspect. When the Lord is moving onward to the cross,
the shadows of the cross are thwarting his path. He's soon going to be handed into the hands of wicked men. He's soon going to be nailed to a cruel tree. He's soon going to suffer under the ignominy and shame of men. Finally, under the hand of God.
And this is what he says. As he submits to them, he says, this is your hour. And the power authority of darkness. You know what I believe? Not only does the spirit of darkness that possesses every soul keep you from Christ, but there's a satanic part, a satanic darkness thing that's the power of every person. The Lord recognized it.
Satanic darkness, it reigns, and the closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more the self and lack. We are in a dark city here. Beautiful, oh yes. Beautiful for situation, lovely mountains.
And if you get up there before the hole, I don't know. It looks very nice. And it's not yet.
Lovely city.
Well, I want to tell you that
every prospect of Jesus, only man is like that. Darkness night, but exactly when I see those clouds coming.
And you're looking on a sunny day at those beautiful hills and mountains, peaks with the snow on it, and everything's glistening at night, everything's shining when you look out of the window.
But the day, you know, was so dismal, wasn't it? The dark cloud of smoke. Couldn't see it better. I just thought to myself, you know, the devil has swept into Vancouver. The end to our world, but he's in Vancouver right now. What he's doing, that's it.
You new young man, you're going to find it hard to get God's debate for Jesus, but you're going to find it hard from this respect.
Satanic power in you. Every step of the way.
Has done it before, and will do it again, and as we preach the gospel, I don't know what our, I haven't talked to him about this, but I do feel even in preaching,
I look back 20 years ago, I don't know if it's because I was younger and more spry and more fit or whatever it would be, or my mind was more alert, I can't tell you, but I had deducted a number of things, but one thing I do is the devil is
very marked way in these closing moments before Christ comes to hinder the operation of the gospel.
You are getting saved?
Oh yes, it's lovely to hear of five here and six here and ten there and some places in Mexico.
A little outburst of blessing, a little blessing from heaven and some other countries. But then, generally speaking, let us face reality. The power and authority of darkness is so increased.
Men are cast in shackles, held, and blinded. The devil will never, never be at rest until he sees them lost forever.
Solemn, isn't it, dear George Whitfield, that flaming evangelist,
that cloud of pearl of blessing that few ever found?
When he well described it, that men are like walking along that cliff, like a blind man with a white beard. And he's expressing it, trying to tell men where they're traveling to, where they are. And he points out so graphically as he's moving along that dog, and one hand holding the lead of that little dog, and the other hand is a white beard, and he's going along this lonely path, finally, he's going along the side of the cliff. Somehow or other, this hand slaps, and the dog leaves.
As he put eyes on the ears of people when he spoke, he said, I see him going closer to the cliff, closer and closer and closer. Finally, as some stones rolled down the chasm. And as he said it, one man shouted out in the audience,
"What do you think?"
George Whitfield, he's not over, but some of you are on the brink of hell almost there to go over. My friend, would that God would touch you tonight to recognize your path. I said hello to you, Lord.
I would like to say it with tears. I would like to get right down and then and whisper in your ear, little friend,
another few steps and you can be over. Satanic darkness will so enrapture and envelop the mind and the soul and guard the pathway.
I remember my own life.
The devil didn't certainly want to see me saved. I would have stood at the door on old year's night.
And I was troubled. I was troubled. I didn't want
the boys any longer. I was sick to the teeth of it. I wanted to stay in, and I was thinking about my sin, and eternity in heaven and hell. When that knock came to the door, my mother appeared. I could hear her voice yet. She was almost going to say I wasn't home, but she wouldn't tell a lie. And so the boys said, we're looking for Albert. And then I could hear her voice almost say, forget it. We're looking for
but the devil overstepped himself. That was the last night of revelry that I had in this dark world. In my foolish, careless, reckless life, I caught the hold of a policeman under the arm.
I said to him, sir,
you and I are going to hell in our sins. And you need to be born again and get to hell.
He looked at me astounded and astonished and alarmed.
He says, what's your name? I told him. He says, what's your currency? Where do you live? I told him. He says, what's your dad doing? I said, the dad's a person.
He looked at me in those eyes and he said, look, son, you're a disgrace to society.
He said, to have a father and a mother like that and you like this. Friend, that was an honesty. That was Balaam's ass speaking.
But I tell you, it reached me, and I said to myself, if I get out of this
dance hall alive, and I get home, that's my final. I want God's salvation for me. I want to be saved, I want to be a heaven.
I hope tonight I'll be real to you.
The devil will make one big friend, one mighty effort to hold you.
That's why the old preachers said, you've heard Mr. Ramsey so often, when
her parents said to Albert, you'll have to make one mighty effort to get God's salvation.
Because everything's against you to get it. Humanly speaking, the devil, your own self, your companions, your friends,
the people around you, the very area for you.
But God is for you. This Bible is for you, and we are for you. This Spirit is for you. Don't let the devil cheat you, friend. Mr. Harris well said the other, didn't he? Albert, you intend coming. Yeah.
You intend coming. Missed last night.
You missed last night? You intend coming. He said, Albert, the devil has a wicked millions that are in hell.
Do you intend to be saved, friend?
Do you intend to be in heaven? Do you intend to sing that song? Do you intend to be in that place of unsullied life and joy and gladness and serenity and peace? My friend, listen, don't let the devil teach you the authority of darkness. Supply God. Christ knew it. He warns it, friend.
I want to get to supernatural darkness. You know, it's a strange thing about the cross.
We leave the Spirit and we come to the satanic man and we look at Calvary. Something happened. Supernatural.
Something happened, never happened before.
I know we preached on this before, but I'll preach on it again for you. There's something about Calvary that throws my glory heart down. Causes me almost to leave for joy. But in those hours of darkness, I know it took the 6 hours.
And a cross. Every one of them read it.
But there's something peculiar about this last week. From the sixth unto the ninth.
When that sun that Christ faced, 93 million miles away? Something like that.
And he placed it there in under sky. That sun was revealed.
What's
that? Do you understand me? Why the supernatural darkness?
Why did it fall? Why did the whole earth become almost engrossed in absolute and total darkness? He couldn't ever leave this darkness.
It's similar. When you find the book of Exodus, it couldn't move. Three days. It couldn't move. Such was the intensity. When there was something peculiar, and my Savior hung on Calvary. Darkness hung around thy head. When for sin thy blood was shed, the victim in the sinner's stead, Savior, Savior, we adore thee. Can I ask you tonight, what think you of that Christ?
What think you of the man of sorrows? What think you of that suffering Savior? What think you of the Christ that hung in the darkness upon the cross and battled the awful storm of God's wrath against man's sin? When thy friend was poured like a mighty torrent upon him, when the floodgates of the ocean of God's wrath were let loose.
A mighty vengeance of God. Not to sink a world dead. He bore it for a guilty race, thus became thy hiding place. What about you tonight? What think you of that one?
You want to be sure you're going to heaven?
Look to that cross. And did you see my sins laid upon him? No one did, even at the cross. But what took place, friend? God alone knows the immensity of the wrath, of the sufferings, of the pains, of the sorrows. I love that hymn. I'm looking for the Lord to come, but I often say if I have to go to the wet bed. I say to my wife, make sure to sing that hymn at my funeral. For I'm not looking for today. Old bones. The Lord's coming. Waiting for him. But I said, make sure that you get out that hymn. I say, sing the one of them, sing it. Man of sorrows, what I mean.
Love it. Love it.
There is sheer stopping root in my grace on them. Seize my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Friend tonight, thank God every man, woman, boy and girl that will enter through the pearl hung gates will exalt eternally. And the one that died in the darkness upon the tree. Do you love him tonight? I'm going to ask you.
I'm not asking if you have a profession. I'm asking if you have a profession. Have you a moment when you fell in love with a man that you never saw with your natural eye? But by faith you apprehended when he was on that cruel tree, he was suffering in my stead. For man, a miracle of grace for man. The Savior bled. Supernatural darkness that distinguishes the cross and that event from every other event that ever happened. Let me suppose it was dead. There's a little girl and I phoned us up one night, Mr. Bingham and I were together.
A bit later now.
She phoned Mr. Bingham up here or nothing. She said, Mr. Bingham, God just. She said, when I thought of the darkness, what he's. She said, I couldn't sleep. I had to get down on my knees and with my Bible. Ask God to see my lips from the down to other times. Friend, there's a darkness. It's called the mists of darkness, the blackness of darkness, the outer darkness. Now, I haven't got a word tonight. I haven't. Just to pull back the curtain, friend, and to let every one of us just look beyond time. Beyond this little space called time, so narrow, friend. And we're all going to be in eternity. We're not coming back. We're making our exit. Someday, somehow, we will move out into the vast eternity that's timeless and endless and ceaseless.
I'm going to be in my
eternity. And this meeting, and I hope it's not true, but right now, if anything happened, it would be. Slip right into darkness. You want to say something? You can correct me after the meeting if you like. I'll bear correction. I don't think the flames of God's wrath will ever light the darkness. When sinners leave this world, they're going to a fire, but they're going to have kiss of darkness, mists of darkness.
Come on, my soul, thy certain ruin trace.
If thou shouldst spurn thy Savior's proper grace, millions of years in torment thou must stand, which never have an end. Yes, thou must dwell in torturing despair,
as many years as Adam's in the air. When these were past,
as many years as grapes of grass, drops of morning dew, when all those doleful years were spent in pain and multiplied by millions more again, till numbers drowned. I suppose that then, why was it years? Were at a close? That would have forced me. I tremble and I shudder. That awful word. Well, would that I could get back to it. And I lay on my bed in a little trailer where I lived with my two little girls, one in English, putting them to sleep on a Sunday afternoon. Anne and Ruth, lovely little girls, they weren't angels, were born to love. Still do. Never forget as I lay there, suffering, looked into the of a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I thought to myself, wonder where they'll be when time is no more. I couldn't keep the tears back. Couldn't. And little Ruth looked at me and she said, Daddy, what are you crying for? I remember looking at her little white face and I said, Ruth, you don't understand, you're just 3 years, but your daddy loves you. But one day you're going to leave us. When you're going to, you can't understand anything where you're going to be. Alan was more alert than that. I can see her little lip tremble. As I said, Alan, you're the first soul we brought into the world. Love you. That's just thing. As he's preaching to others where his own little children are going to be. I never forget coming home in the car when I was 14. The slippery road. I could hear the voices that said, and Ramona Longo. I said, look, girls, you've been under 6 weeks of solid preaching. And somehow I feel you're going to miss being home.
I'll never forget the voice from the back. She said, Bob,
I could see it in Saturday night. The car came off the road.
I said, you did?
She said, I just wanted to be sure. Is there Jim Martin was preaching on the way to the ungodly from Paris? He finished with the note, Christ died for the ungodly. And she said, I can see his fear. He died for me.
Friend tonight, that's what
we're here not to try to preach. Forget it, and I sermonize you, forget all that. We're here for your soul, friend. You, woman, man, boy, and girl, we love you. God loves you more. We are here to see the brother Christ plan to be in heaven, not in hell.
To be in the glory, not in the world. To be in the light, not in the darkness. To be my friend in the calmness of his presence forever instead of the turmoil of eternal fire forever.
Forever. And forever. God speak to them. Bring you to Christ. That you'll be able to leave the meeting and stand. The lock. And die as a wife.
Our Father, we bow in thy presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus, O God, we join with thy people in these meetings, and we desire to see God's hand. We can't produce it, it's of God, but we sow the seed as we have in hearing, and Lord, we pray that there might just be that good ground tonight that will respond to the word of God and accept the truth of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Part us with thy blessing, and in thy fear, keep us in a praying attitude. Bless each one that come along tonight to the meeting. These young folks, Lord, we covet them for heaven, and God loves them, and Christ died that they should be saved. Lord, don't let them linger in darkness, and don't let them die in darkness. O God, hear us weeping. Seats of thee in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just one verse of a hymn and the meeting is over. And thank you again for coming to the meeting. Hymn number 256. Someone wanted to be saved tonight. There's enough in this verse. The hymn, number 256, and the meeting is over, verse number 1. Thank you for coming.
When the sea is set, it's been in.